Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and praise God that you're able to join me again as we share the good things of the Lord. The last several days, we've been looking at an episode in the life of Samson, who was a judge of Israel. God had raised him up. He had supernatural strength. I won't take the time to read of some of his exploits, but he did amazing things because of his incredible strength, and God had set him apart as a Nazarite from before birth, as others in the Old Testament, such as John the Baptist, for example. And there were some very specific things to being a Nazarite. You'll find those outlined in Numbers. And in Samson's case, as well as, of course, in John the Baptist, they were Nazarite from before birth. They did not eat anything of the fruit of the vine, raisins. They did not drink wine. It was a sign of their separation, and they didn't cut their hair. It was a sign of separation unto God. But as this Nazarite vow, if you will, now that I'm making a distinction, one could, man or woman of the people of Israel, choose to take a Nazarite vow. They would set for a specified period of time. They would take this vow of the Nazarite. Their hair would not be cut. They would. There were certain things. They wouldn't go near a dead person, and there were dietary restrictions such as not drinking wine or eating of the fruit of the vine, like raisins and things like that. And it was a time to draw close to the Lord. But Samson had been a Nazarite from before birth. He was raised up as a judge of Israel, and we see that through compromise, through the unwillingness to hold sacred his responsibility before God, that great office that he had been given, he fell short. He fell in love with a Philistine woman by the name of Delilah. She prevailed upon him. He held off for a while. He lied. He made excuses, and eventually she kept on him till finally he told her his whole heart, told her the truth, and while he was sleeping asleep in her lap, the enemies of Israel, the Philistines, she allowed them to come in. His seven locks were cut off, and they captured him as a prisoner. He rose up. He didn't realize the strength of the Lord. The Lord had departed from him. His strength was just like that of a normal man. They took him prisoner. They gouged out his eyes, and they put him in the prison house to grind grain. So that was the sad end of this mighty judge of Israel, because he did not view the responsibility he had been given by God as something sacred. And so God rather quickened these the locks of his hair being as symbolic or significant of things in our era today, if you will. The Samson church, the church of name but not of power, has fallen asleep and has just laid down its head, if you will, in the lap of the enemy, and the enemy has put out its eyes. They can't see, and they're in bondage, and they're in servitude. So I had shared on a preceding broadcast that the first lock, if you will, is the lock of dynamic faith. The second lock we looked at was the lock of prayer, that prayer in many arenas and communities and churches has been a thing of the past. A third lock we were looking at is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I shared just recently out of personal experience, there's someone I know that went to their pastor, and this is in a Pentecostal denomination, wanted to know why the gifts aren't moving, why there's no interpretation or tongues and interpretation of tongues. And they were told that it would not be seemly or appropriate for the Sunday morning service. And what a sad testimony for someone who, by doctrinal, by statement of faith, believes in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, I can remember years ago, the first time God ever used me in prophecy, and this was many, many years ago, I had been used to give a gift of a message in tongues in the congregation, but I'd never interpreted. And God had moved on me that I was out of state. I was visiting a sick relative, and I was desperate for Christian fellowship. So I went to a particular Pentecostal denomination, which believed in the gifts of the Spirit, and the Lord indicated He wanted to move by the gift of tongues and interpretation, and I thought I was supposed to obey God. Well, He confirmed this in a wonderful way, because a woman gave a message in tongues, and for the very first time, I interpreted, and later, after the service, the song leader came up to me, and he said, "Oh, thank you for obeying God. We've been praying for that. There were no gifts moving there, and it was an answer to prayer." And this is a Pentecostal church. So, beloved, there are places, even though they have the name, they don't seem to have the goods. Why? We've gotten lazy. We've fallen asleep. So let's now look at another lock that represents the, if you will, one of the signs of power, or locks of power of the church. And another, the fourth lock, if you will, is the second coming of Jesus Christ, literally back to this earth. Those who sit on the side of the Antichrist, who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who doubt the resurrection, who preach a humanistic philosophy instead of the gospel of the kingdom of God, they do not believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Beloved, the Bible says He is coming. And Jesus Himself says, "Behold, I come." And one of these days, He's going to walk out of the gates of pearl and come walking down the starry firmament, and we shall behold Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. So many don't believe it. They've laid their heads down in the lap of Delilah, and that lock of hope in the second coming of Jesus Christ has been cut off for so many. Now you might say, "Well, Sister Glass, who doesn't believe in the second coming?" Well, again, this is real and alive today. I know of a personal friend, a minister of the gospel, who's had been trained and is ministering in a particular congregation, and he was removed from his place of ministry. Why? Do you want to know why? Because he preached on the second coming of Jesus Christ. He was preaching the word, and they removed him. So it's alive and well, friends. There is a Samson church, unfortunately. Let's look again quickly at some further locks. The fifth lock, if you will, is the lock of divine healing. That's been cut off. Ministers teach their people that the age of miracles is past. People aren't healed anymore. They say Jesus isn't healing the sick. Beloved, one of our great problems in the church today is they have put out the light that shines down from the throne of God. And if you refuse to walk in the light God gives today, there can be no light tomorrow. You'll never, and I'm speaking even personally in your own life, you'll never get any more light until you're willing to walk in the light that God has already given you. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to the people, and the people gave heed to the things which he spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, and the Acts of the Apostles are filled with God's marvelous miracles wrought through believing and faithful servants. They've cut off the lock of healings and miracles. Ask some of these modern preachers to pray for you to be healed, and they'll look at you like you're out of your head. Or if they are willing to pray, they'll just pray you're able to endure your suffering. Beloved, when they cut off the locks of Samson here, they also put out his eyes, and he couldn't see. And whenever we allow the enemy to cut off the locks of our power, our faith, our prayers, our submission, our obedience, we're spiritually blind and we can't see. The sixth lock, if you will, is the lock of genuine salvation. The church is more anxious for statistical success than in genuine born-again experiences. We've been anxious to grow numerically. We've laid aside spiritual growth. The one fundamental requisite for anyone to come to Christ or to have a life of Christ in them is to be simply born again. The salvation that is offered to you by Christ comes through His atoning work on Calvary. And what is the church but the body of Christ? And that should be the basis of our fellowship. You don't find altars in churches anymore. They're too old-fashioned. Beloved, shaking hands with a preacher, sign a card, promise to be good, attend the church. That's not salvation. Salvation is an experience, a personal relationship with Jesus. And we need to get back to the early church example. The seventh lock is is the lock of power. And this is one of the things that so many people are afraid of. We've lost the lock of manifestations and demonstrations of supernatural evidence of the presence of God. The early church had them, and they rejoiced in them. They thrived on them. The early church was made a recipient of them by the ever-present and loving God, and He's doing that today. But even today, when this is occurring, there are those in the body of Christ to say, well, I don't know, is this revival of God? Is this manifestation of the presence of God really, really genuine? How sad for so many to back off from God's power. When it comes to God shaking a building by the power of His presence and visibly moving in the lives of the people, they don't want it. They call them fools in the days of the apostles. But like Paul, they were willing to be a fool for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. What we need is no less manifestation of the power of God, but more manifestation of His power. And I'm crying out and praying for more demonstrations of His divine presence in this nation, and more power and more miracles and a genuine move of the God's Holy Spirit that will be felt in this nation and around the world. Joel said that God would restore the years that the palmerworm and the caterpillar and the cankerworm hath eaten. He said through that same prophet He would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. Beloved, Samson was taken prisoner. His eyes were put out. He was put in chains. He was grinding in the prison house. This is how Satan works. That's what he wants. But hallelujah, if you know the end of that book, or the end of that story, his hair began to grow. They didn't recognize it, but it began to grow back little by little, day by day. The power was being given back. And beloved, today, my heartfelt belief is that the church is getting back His power. The Samson church's hair is beginning to grow. Through their own stubbornness and rebellion and suffering the result of that, being a prisoner in the prison house, they come to their senses, and God is being merciful once again, and the power will be restored. And as you know, in the final days of Samson, he was called in, he leaned against those pillars, and at his death, more Philistines were killed at his death than even through his lifetime. So praise God. Let's believe for the church. Let's pray for the body of Christ. Let us believe in a glorious church of power and authority and manifestation of the presence of God. Praise God. Well, I pray that you were blessed by that, and invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. The announcer is going to give you our mailing address. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I'll pray personally for you and send back whatever God gives. God bless you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.